still.
Hey, CD.
Scouts. What? I'm sorry. I was looking at my phone. I'm busy coloring.
Are you ready?
Over here.
It's asteroid blasting time.
On it like a vomit comet.
Trexploration.
Woo! Star Trek Scouts! Hello and welcome back to Trexploration. I'm Albie.
And I'm Chris.
Wow! Another exciting episode of Star Trek Scouts. This time, it was the chalk.
I think this one goes deeper than the first two. Have we done two or three so far? I think two, right? Two. This is number three.
I think two, maybe three.
I think we did the
trailer and two episodes.
We did the trailer and two episodes. This is our fourth episode.
Number three for us, the chalk.
Third episode proper of our four chalk episodes. You got us for three episodes. Yes, this is the chalk episode. We saw this one in the trailer. So
yeah,
this is
it's a little bit spoiled.
Yeah, the last of the trailer teases, I guess, right?
But we really didn't know like if it was like a benevolent chalk or like or what the motivation behind the chalk was.
I never knew that chalk could have a motivation. That's very interesting.
Well, you know what they say, when you're a hammer, the world's chalk.
When you're a hammer, the world looks like a piece of chalk. Pezzo di gesso.
Chalk.
Multicolored chalk.
That's where the saying comes from.
Yeah, that, as they say, yes. So pezzo di gesso is one of the few things I remember how to say in Italian, and only because it's the only thing my brother learned to say in Italian all throughout his Italian classes in school, and he says it all the time. We don't know why.
I know. What is
hey,
that?
Oh, this is a kid's show. Never mind.
Oh, you can't say that?
No, you can't say that.
I don't know what it is. What about you didn't see nothing?
You didn't see nothing. One. How about snitches get stitches?
Stitches get snitches. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm from Jersey. I know Italian.
There you go. Uh-huh. With your sfogliatelle. Now go take your sfogliatelle and get out of here.
You kiss your mother with that mouth?
All right. We've become evil Italians now. Let me twirl my greasy mustache.
It's all the language I know. It's a little bit Italian. And some, you know, Mandarin. Wow. This episode starts out different. Do you want to jump into it or do you want to just... okay, we're talking about Star Trek Scouts. Season 1, Episode 3. Chalk?
I think chalk.
These fireworks?
Chalk asteroid?
Chalk. Comet on it like a comet, JR.
Yeah, so chalk asteroid, I guess, right? Because it's asteroids that are coming towards this school. So
if you haven't seen the episode in a while, Chris, you want to just give us an episode recap?
Well, yeah. I mean, so JR and Rue are, I guess, floating. I guess they turn the gravity off again because they're flying around the Star Trek Scouts compound, busting holocubes with their bare hands. So what are these holocubes made of? And anyway, they're
photons and force fields.
They're like doing, I guess this is part of their daily calisthenics. This is part of their, I have so many questions about where they are. What liminal space do these kids exist in? But let's get on with the episode.
Okay, I have a theory. Remind me later.
Okay, all right. So not joining in is Sprocket because he would rather be lying on the floor on his belly making pictures. He's got a box of crayons and he's coloring. He's doing some artistic stuff. And I have a lot to say about that later, too. And they're just like, hey, Sprocket, dude, we're busting holocubes. What's your problem? Why don't you bust them with us? He's like, I feel like coloring. But if you insist. And then he uses that unreal bionic arm of his. He go-go gadgets it. And he chops all the cubes in succession, and he sets a record. He sets a record for chopping cubes without even getting up. He's coloring with one hand, chopping cubes with the other hand. And, you know, he's just like, yeah, deal, because that's me. But all of a sudden, he's like, his moment of triumph is quickly interrupted by an alert. The comet alert, the asteroid alert that he seems to have on his phone goes off again. I sense pattern with Star Trek Scouts. I mean, two times is a coincidence. Three times, it's a pattern.
When it's the third time, it's your fault, right?
I guess so. It's somebody's fault. But this time, it's a giant piece of chalk from the sidewalk nebula. So I'm guessing that they're in an environment that still has sidewalks that people make hopscotch boards on. And that's what I always think of when I think of, like, chalk on a street.
Yeah, hopscotch.
But I grew up in the Bronx, so there was always, you know, some kind of the hopping game that they did on the sidewalks.
The Upper West Side.
Upper West Side for you, huh? Mm-hmm. So... I was in Eastchester, but it was pretty much right in the middle of the Bronx, like smack dab. I've looked it up since.
Okay, by the park.
I was nine when we moved out, but we're about 10 minutes.
By the hot dog stand?
We were about 10 minutes from Morris Park. Actually, Morris Park was right up the block, which that was our neighborhood. And
nice.
10 minutes from everything. So Yankee Stadium, 10 minutes away. The Bronx Zoo, 10 minutes away. Botanical Gardens,
Flatbush.
10 minutes away. Arthur Avenue, 10 minutes away. Anyway, yeah. So this multicolored choice is heading right for the Star Trek Scouts Lair.
It's heading right
compounds.
For us.
Right. It's coming right for us. So they have to decide what they're going to send to bust up this chalk comet asteroid that's threatening their lives. So they spin the wheel of nonsensical stuff. And the first thing that they land on.
What will it be today?
It's an airplane, a paper airplane. They all seem to think this
that's
is
gotta
a
work,
very
right?
good job. Very good choice, right? It's going to do a great job. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's Rue that loads the airplane into the transporter beam thing. You have questions about that, too. And they send the airplane off with great fanfare and high hopes, which are soon dashed when the airplane bounces off the end of the chalk, its nose crumpled, and it goes flying away into space. They don't
That's
know what
hurdle.
To do.
It's
They're like, what do we do? What now? Do we do now? So they spin the wheel of nonsense again, and it lands on, believe it or not, box crayons. And they're like, that's a great idea. Chalk, crayons.
It's like matter maybe, antimatter, right?
It could be a meet cute, actually. Maybe the chalk will meet the crayons because they're both kind of colorful. Right? And there you go. I thought I knew you'd love that part. So that's what I was thinking. So they go to retrieve the crayons from the arsenal that they have, but the crayons are gone. And it turns out that Sprocket's, he's not done coloring. I mean, he told them about the comet. They can handle the asteroid. He still has pictures to draw. And they're like, what are you doing, bro? And he's like, wait, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. And he says, I was just finishing up these portraits of you, my best buds. And he hands them pictures of themselves. JR is especially smitten and touched by this picture, this portrait that Sprocket drew of him. And he seems distracted about that for the rest of the episode. But we still, this chalk, it's like it's 1 minute to chalk again. And they still have
my
to
goodness,
figure
yeah.
out what to do.
They only got a 4 minute warning, I think.
Right? Yeah. I mean, they need Paolo's dino scanner. I mean, not to cross the streams between Khan and, but if they had it in, I don't know. When does Scouts take place? Anyway.
I think after.
Yeah, right. So they should like that dino scanner should be old news. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the dino scanner can scan the core of SETI Alpha 6 from SETI Alpha 5, it should be able to give you a little bit more advanced chalk warning. That's all I'm saying. Anyway.
Maybe you gotta set it for chalk.
Maybe wow. That sounds like, you know, something like now I'm gonna put this in a D&D campaign. Roll for chalk. Anyway, we have to see what's the denouement. Denouement of this episode. You win chalk. Roll for initiative. Now you have to hopscotch down through the dragon's lair. So they have two choices left. And as is traditional with Star Trek Scouts, they don't spin randomly for the third one. They have the choice between a hammer and I think a ball of cat puke. A sticky ball of like a hairball.
A slimy hairball?
A slimy
it's
hairball.
It's almost like Sophie's Choice, right?
Right,
They have a really difficult decision to make.
I mean, maybe a Hobson's Choice, a little bit less charged emotionally for Holocaust survivors. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, who knows where the cat is?
Take my hairball! Anyway, that was insensitive. So they decide, hey, why don't we send the hammer? Because sometimes when an asteroid's coming, you got to drop the hammer, right? Yeah, right? Now we're Italian again. So they shoot the hammer up into space. It goes tumbling end over end until the head of the hammer meets the end of the chalk. And kablooey, the chalk turns to dust, but not just dust. They go out onto their scout's balcony like they always do to see what's coming down. And it's actually fireworks. The chalk somehow turns into a fireworks show. And not only that, JR has no eyes for the fireworks. Everybody's like, aren't these great? And he's like, no, he's looking at his self-portrait. And he's like, this is the greatest thing ever. Thank you so much, Sprocket. And I guess that's the end of the episode. JR,
it's so beautiful.
It's like Echo and Narcissus, right? He's just staring at his reflection. And there are so many lessons to be learned on this one, man. All right. So first things first, who felt an affinity in this for Sprocket? Do we need to tell people first how they can contact us before we go on with our discussion?
Yeah, you can do a little bit of that.
All right. I didn't call anything up, so let me see. Do we have a rundown from last night? Yes, we do. Hey, we have a new call to action. So first, we'd like to thank everybody who already supports the show. But if you don't and you'd like to, you can do so on Patreon. That's patreon.com/trexploration. This is where we get our resources so that we can talk about Star Trek Scouts and Star Trek Con and
Star Trek
eventually
Scouts.
Starfleet Academy and anything else.
What
Star
if one
Trek
leads into the
coming
other?
Down
what
the
if
pike?
This is a prequel? To Academy, and we don't even know it.
It could be.
Just so put it out there.
Patreon.com/Trexploration. You can find all of our membership levels there. And if you choose to support us, we thank you. If you just choose to join the Patreon community for free, we thank you. We just love to have people joining our crew of intrepid Trexplorers. You can also help spread the word about the show by hyping this video. Hype it. Who else is doing in-depth reviews of Star Trek Scouts? Really?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, I feel top like that. We're the only game in town. Top that. You can also join here on the YouTube channel, become a YouTube member. You can do it for free. You can do it as a monetary thing. I'm not really sure how that works, but
one of us.
So many tiers.
Join. Give them the credit card number. Forget about it.
That's right. And then when we're live, you can join us for super chats if you follow us on this YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/actoreexploration.
Oh. I know what the super chats not live are called. They're called thanks.
Oh, thanks. Okay. So super chats, when
so
live.
Either one,
and thanks,
super chat or thanks.
And thanks
or both.
Now. Give us some thanks right now.
Yeah. So, and of course, shoebox, right?
And shoebox full of 20s. Yes. You can send that to P.O. Box 542, Bayport, New York, 11705. That's P.O. Box 542, Bayport, New York, 11705. If you do join the channel, send us photos. TrexplorationPod@gmail.com. We'll put your photos in the credits. Also, send us comments there or voicemails or anything that you want.
All the things.
You can send us crypto. There, I guess. I don't know. I'm just thinking virtual shoebox full of 20s. You can also, Alba's going to pop it up now, scan this QR code for a one-time PayPal donation or this QR code for a one-time Zelle donation. Ooh. Is that Zelle? Zelly?
I'm not sure.
I like Zelly. Anyway, there's so many different ways that you can join the Trexploration community and help support the show and just spread the word. Speaking of pictures, sending photos, I know we kind of already did this unveiling, unboxing, this discovery. We got a package in our P.O. box from our cadet, Listen Linda. I forgot to thank all of our current, oh my God,
we
Linda.
Thank him.
Willard, I'm so sorry. Oh, what am I thinking? It's like I've never done this before.
Willard!
Yes, join the ranks, our Trexplorers, like the omnipotent Willard. He's our lifetime member. You can also become a cadet or a lieutenant commander and join the
admiral.
Listen,
you can become
Linda.
Omnipotent.
And
you can be anything you want to be in the Trexploration.
Cadet Rick Tatro, thank you. Lieutenant Commander Scott Seligman, cosplayer dad, and Christian Daljo. And, of course, our esteemed Captain, Captain Charles from Texas. I'm sorry I was remiss. I almost didn't mention. I'm just so excited about Star Trek Scouts. I'm just so excited.
It is exciting. Fireworks made out of chalk.
Fireworks.
How does that even work?
I don't know about the physics. I was going to ask you, but you're more science guy than I am. I'm an ideas guy.
Different metals to make different colors.
Could it be like, you know, like when you were in chemistry,
much more dangerous than just chalk. Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. Like when we were in a chemistry class as a kid, they had like this, I don't know if it was what it was.
Copper in and turns green, right?
It was like this metal that like if you actually had a piece of it, it would like burst into flame if it wasn't covered in oil or something. I don't know how this was like just hanging around a school.
Sodium.
But it was.
I think it was pure sodium.
But it felt, I don't know, but if I recall, it was solid. So maybe that chalk was made out of different metals like that. Somebody down below who's smarter than I am, please comment on what, maybe it was magnesium? I think it was magnesium.
Sodium explodes in water.
I probably have cancer because of it, but that's beside
the point. Don't we all, a little bit?
Don't we all a little bit have cancer? I guess so. I mean, it seems to be built into the human condition. So anyway, I was thinking that could be the reason for the fireworks. But before we got to the fireworks, before we cue those fireworks, I wanted to just say, did anybody else besides me feel a real affinity with Sprocket in this episode? When I was a kid, I wasn't exactly an indoor kid because, you know, growing up on the mean streets of the Bronx, you wanted to draw your hopscotch board on the sidewalk. You wanted to go down the block and play wiffle ball. You wanted to go out on the block during the 4th of July when they would literally just take a bucket and dump a whole bunch of fireworks in it and throw a book of matches and run. I remember I was there.
Toddlers.
Like, see, I liked being out there, you know, with the peoples, with my friends and neighbors. But
when it'd be like, oh, you're too young. You're only four. Here's some bottle rockets. Right.
But when
you
it
hold
came
them in your hand and hold on as long as you can.
I got in so much trouble once. My mom was like, if you're going to go out, be careful and stay away from those fireworks. And she comes out and she catches us actually lighting them and throwing them. I was probably 6 or 7 years old.
Yep. I knew a kid who lost a finger and I knew a kid who lost an eye.
You know, the one thing I realized though was, so they're not that sharp. It's not like an M80. It was just like a regular firecracker. And the one I put it over my back to throw and it exploded in my hand like right away. And then you realize you had to twist the fuse a little tighter so it burned a little bit slower. And that way, but I think two of them blew up in my fingers before I figured that out. It just stung a little.
It was great. M80s were like quarter stick of dynamite and like four of them was like two sticks of dynamite.
I mean, I think we need to put the thing on the bottom of the screen. Don't try this at home, kids.
Do not try this at home, kids.
It's almost like that time in the first episode when I told the kids to stick a fork in their head. But
I had a blur and beep and to put a disclaimer. Oh my
it seemed
goodness.
Like a good idea at the time. Listen, I at was just time, going where Star Trek scouts led me.
Yeah, we grew up in the 80s. It was a different time.
But so that's all prelude to saying, when I saw Sprocket sitting on the floor coloring, it reminded me of me as I started to get into more adolescence. Like, we would have to, when we moved to the island, we called it summer recreation. And it was just like going to day camp, essentially, at Hidden Pond Park. They had an ice rink. They still have an ice rink there. And, you know, you had different days for different things. So my favorite days were always arts and crafts days. I mean, I suck at sports. So I always felt like low-key or high-key anxiety whenever I had to play any kind of organized sports besides the wiffle ball I used to play in the Bronx. I hated it. I just freaking hated it. But then there was arts and crafts day, and you were able to be colorful and creative. And it was just like you were coming home. And why couldn't every day be arts and crafts day? So when I saw Sprocket sitting there, they're all doing their judo, hi-ya, chop, 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 sporty crap. He's just like, can you just let me be? I just want to draw pictures. I just want to draw pictures. Mm. So we forgot, speaking of drawing pictures, we had the unveiling. God, I'm all over the place.
Yeah, but not everybody watches every show on the network,
right,
so you don't
right.
know.
Right, so you might have seen this on our review of Con for Magical Thinking.
Con!
Getting back to Listen Linda, our cadet, and getting back to Sprocket's portraits, if you watch this episode, Sprocket makes these portraits that have a very distinct artistic style. And our cadet, Listen Linda, sent us beautiful Sprocket-like portraits.
Oh!
So there I am.
It's Chris.
In Sprocket style. We're going to call this Sprocket style. She also made a picture of my sweet, sweet beanie. And then we have the family Burge coming. I put it back in your envelope. I have to un-envelope it.
All right.
Because I didn't want to forget to mail it, you see. We have the inimitable Alvy Burge. I like this one. You kind of look like you're the most Picasso of us all.
Beautiful.
She captured your glasses. I think it's fantastic.
Beautiful.
Isn't it the most amazing thing? And of course,
the
only, save the best for last, Rennie.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
So I don't know, Linda, you are one talented artiste. The fact,
man,
when we unveiled these for the Con episode, I was just like, this is great. Then I saw this episode of Star Trek Scouts. And I was like, Linda's watching ahead. And gosh, I wish I had known because I would have unwrapped them then. But we can
still see them. Well, that goes to show we're unwrapping them live on the show. We don't know. Yep.
We don't know. We don't know what's going on. My favorite thing is to get something in the post office box and then have to sit on it for like a week because we can't record yet. And it's just like this little ball of joy and anticipation.
Joy.
And thank you.
Beauty. It's so beautiful.
Listen, Linda, thank you so much for the work that you put in on these and for all the support that you give our show.
On our mantle.
I'm going to put Penny right here.
It will be framed.
Penny's going to be flanked by spice.
There will be LED bulbs over top of them. There will be UV protecting glass between the bulb and the art.
I guess I can put me down here with Kyle Rayner, Green Lantern.
If I'm ever evacuating from a fire, I'm going to grab my daughter first, and then those two pictures.
Oh, obviously you don't like Linda. You don't respect her enough. Okay. All right. We know where you stand now, Albie. Your daughter first.
Second.
Okay. Just depends on the hour. So were you like that as a kid? Did you have like a particular thing that
I was
made you feel good?
Artistic, glittery, entertainer, magician, engineer. So like I would like understand how like let's say a disappearing cabinet would work. So I would grab cardboard boxes and a steak knife and that brown packing tape we had back then and create the whole illusion in cardboard and then convince one of the girls in the neighborhood to be my assistant.
One of the girls in the neighborhood, huh?
Yeah. I'd be like, you go this, there's this door, you stand over here.
Can you, how small can you make yourself?
Let's just say these boxes weren't good.
Punch your legs to your chest.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I made them as good as I could for being like 6 and 7 years old.
That's good. You're basically
Calvin. Back then everything was made out of construction paper and it looked real.
You were Spaceman Spiff is what you were.
Yeah, I'm glad there was no social media back then.
Ah, no, you would be legendary if there were social media
back
then.
That's true, I would be legendary.
You would have been a meme at this point.
I would have been. I should be already. I mean, come on. The things I do.
So, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling
it's
you.
Me and Kaufman, the two of us.
You're just, you were before your time, man. Before your time.
Yeah. Before my time. But that's beautiful. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you so much, Linda. They're absolutely gorgeous. I think I'm going to maybe dedicate this area here. I'll find some frames and I'll maybe
move
the old playbills. And so these are fantastic drawings and they're Sprocket originals, really. I'm surprised that Star Trek Scouts hasn't put a C&D letter
We know that, listen, Linda is like the ship's teacher, I believe, but I guess like her specialty is maybe drawing great people from history.
I think that maybe you shouldn't compare her to Keiko O'Brien.
Oh, and McGivers.
And MacGyvers, okay. I think MacGyvers is better.
We have our own MacGyvers.
Yeah, I think that she would have done a better Porsche to Khan.
Probably. Oh, probably. That's what we got to do next.
Could you imagine the Picasso Khan? That would have been amazing. That would have been.
Now, Linda, we just need our profile round picture on YouTube. There you go. With Albie and Chris.
We're not making requests, Linda. You put enough work into these already. Thank you very much.
Oh my goodness.
You've done more than enough already.
I want
already.
A t-shirt. I want a poster. Already. I don't know. I tell you. I think she might have designed the holiday card this year. I'm just saying.
I really loved drawing as a kid, and I was pretty good at it as I got older, but I could never have drawn anything like these when I was a kid, ever. So
I don't know how she did it. It's amazing.
She's a true sprocket. So tell me where these kids live. Like, why are they here?
Okay.
This is the third time we've had an asteroid heading right towards they call it their school, finally. They've never called it a school before.
They're in a school. That's new.
Okay, that's new. All right.
And we see an exterior shot, and it looks like an Earth-like planet, right?
Yeah.
And there are some kind of, like, because Rennie pointed this out. She's good at geography. There are some continent-looking things that look kind of like Earth continents. Okay. And we figured out that if the school is where it is, where we think these continents are, it's somewhere in, like, North Africa.
Okay.
Like maybe right underneath Europe is where this place is, but the scale is way off. This school takes up what, maybe a fifth of the surface of the land mass of the Earth.
It seems to me that we're existing in either a planet that's like the Little Prince, where you can walk around it in 17 or 35 steps. I think that's what was like Little Prince had that little planet.
It looked like it.
Right? But just a little bit more tech. Or they are, I have two suppositions here.
All right.
They're both predicated on the fact that these kids are either in some kind of jail or purgatory. All right? So... They seem happy, but it's just the three of them in this space that is always under constant threat. And they have these times of activity interrupted by danger. So is there some kind of, I don't know, omnipotent force like a Metron or a Q?
Omnipotent Willard!
Are they testing them? Is this a punishment and they are doomed to repeat the same experiment over and over and over again? Like, if you look at it, they're sort of like in a hell. They're in a purgatory that they can't escape.
This is a hell, because maybe every so often they can't stop the impact. And
I can't wait to see that.
They all die and then it reboots, and they have to go through it all over
again. So that's the other thing. Are they just a simulation and don't know it? Like you think we are. You think we're a simulation and don't know it?
A lot of times, I think it's maybe valid.
I don't know. I think that there's more going on here because there's no supervision. There's no curriculum. They're just left to
just
dick around.
Just trying to not die.
Doing whatever. And then all of a sudden, we have to save the world.
And there's only three of them, not including the pets, right? Because then we got three pets, I think.
Right, we have the Targ, Bubbles, I think was the Targ.
Bubbles,
then
the Turtle.
My
favorite. Turtle.
The Turtle, I forgot the Turtle's name.
I think Hawking. I'm
Star. And the puppy.
Puppy.
And
puppy
the
puppy is named French Fries, I think. But
just a puppy named French Fries.
We don't see any place else but the bridge, and they're always trapped in the bridge.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like, where do they poo?
Do they sleep?
You know where they poo? They poo in the transporter beam. That's another thing I have a question about.
That's what they're gonna throw at the next asteroid.
That's what they fling at each other. That's really just this is like a skin on top of like the hellscape that they live in. It's almost like seeing beyond the Matrix, right?
Yeah, so. Maybe they took the multicolor pill.
Right, maybe they took
the chalk.
There you go. There's the chalk. So, but it's because it's always something festive coming at them. And
series is much darker than we originally thought.
We don't know what the hell what happened to Sprocket's arm.
No.
The fact that
that might have been how he got to purgatory where he is.
Right?
Or hell. This might be hell. I'm sorry, Chris. This might be hell.
I didn't see Crowley anywhere. Maybe Rowena's running
not
the show
yet.
Now. I don't know.
Maybe he's the pig. Maybe he's Bubbles.
Wow, imagine at the end of each episode, when they faded to black, one of the animals expanded into some kind of like demonic presence to tell them you've done wrong again. We're going to reset you and back to one.
What could these kids have done so wrong to end up in this place?
Could it be that they're not kids at all? And they've been given these childlike avatars to try to awaken some sense of hope and optimism and sort of that childlike innocence.
And to get down to the core being who they are. So they
can to reawaken that part of their black souls.
What if, like you mentioned simulation, maybe this isn't a simulation as much as it's a simulation inside of reality and it's some kind of punishment. Maybe something like
O'Brien,
that movie where Sylvester Stallone was frozen?
Judge Dredd.
Was it? Okay.
No, I don't know.
And it was that or The Demolition Man. I always get
those
two confused.
Wasn't Sandra Bullock in that one?
Yeah, she was in one of them.
I remember that. Yeah.
But like maybe it's like a punishment and they're criminals and they're adults.
Right.
But their torture is some kind of to learn a lesson over and over again about maybe different states of matter and what destroys meatballs? Okay, my thing's falling apart here, but help me with this.
I think that's true. I think it's like they give you a seemingly ludicrous task and then give you like the worst tools available to deal with it, and you still have to triumph somehow. Mm-hmm. So it could be like that episode of DS9 where O'Brien has to go through that prison sentence, but it all happens inside his head in like, you know, 35 minutes. But he's traumatized for the rest of his life because he murdered his cellmate for some food.
Exactly. And, you know, ex post facto, Tom Paris. Yes, of course. Repeat it over and over again.
But of course, I've never seen that one, so we'll
have to. That's a great one. It's kind of black and white sometimes, and I won't give it away. But Tom Paris is sentenced to watching the murder that he committed through the victim's eyes over and over and over again.
Wow.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Some deep stuff. Not
I
as
think
deep
something
scouts,
like that is going on here.
Yeah, all right.
But how long before they let us in on it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the fact that they're calling it a school. It implies that they have a lesson to learn.
Yes, they're learning,
right?
Maybe learning about what they did and maybe more about themselves. Actually.
Maybe you should think about what you did in between asteroids. So I wonder
the chalk and the hammer
when they get to go out onto the observation deck.
It's still a cage.
Can't go past it. And those fireworks coming down, who knows? If it's like magnesium that's burning through the atmosphere, it could land on their skin and burn them. Mm-hmm. But,
Bubbles eat any of the fireworks?
Not that I saw, but I wouldn't put it past Bubbles.
She can float.
Bubbles can float. See, Bubbles can be their ticket out of there. If they just held on to Bubbles... Bubbles could, it could be like Lex Luthor busting out of jail in Superman 2 on a hot air balloon, right?
Trash bags,
yeah, hot. So a hot targ balloon. I don't know. I just think, again, that we're only just touching the bare surface of Star Trek Scouts.
Is it one of these kind of things that they're going to let us in on during the season, or are they just going to at the end of say season one, dun dun dun, you had no idea?
I really think that they're going to keep it subtle. I think it's going to be just context clues that because it really is aimed at 4-year-olds out there. So
that's what they
need to program them subtly. Right? So that they have to learn their lesson.
But it wouldn't be this heavy if it was for kids, really. I mean, kids can watch it because pretty colors, but it wouldn't be this heavy with all this back story and lore that we're discovering.
I don't know. It could be Wagnerian. Like, it could be all pretty, pretty dragons and Rhine maidens and gold rings and, rainbow bridges. Mm-hmm. But, some deep, effed up stuff going on amidst all that. So, I don't know. I feel it's epic. And it's funny because I think about it and I say to myself, oh, how long are we going to keep this gag going about scouts being serious? But then I watch the episodes and I say, there's really something going on here.
I
think we started it as a joke, but
we're just more observant than others, I think, because this isn't really getting out. But I think J.R., there's the theory that he's Jack Ransom, but, if he is or isn't, we don't know yet. But he sees this picture of what he thinks is himself, or we think is himself, and he cries, and he thinks it's beautiful.
Right.
Is he experiencing the beauty that comes from the one joy that he had in his life, but lost?
Or... Wow, that's a good point. Why is he so obsessed with that portrait of himself? Could it be that he's got this ingrained self-loathing because of some undisclosed past deed? And it took Sprocket seeing him in a different light to give JR a different context in which he could view himself. And now it's like he can't look away because it would never occur to him to see himself this way.
What if JR has some kind of dysmorphia? And when he saw the picture, he saw that he was actually beautiful.
Maybe the pictures weren't Picasso-esque at all. Maybe that's how JR sees himself.
Exactly.
Holy crap.
And Sprocket is just very observant.
Yeah, or, you know, could Sprocket now, could Sprocket, could that bionic arm be, wait a minute, could that bionic arm be just, that's like, it's supposed to be the only, but maybe he's like a Terminator. Maybe the skin is just the skin, and he's the warden that's got to keep them in line, and...
He's their keeper.
Yeah, he's their keeper, and he's the one that's trying to...
Mama Morton.
That's why he's the one that's always seeing the... flying towards the state. He's got the asteroid detector.
Right. He's the one that has the information.
Right. So he's the one that spurs them. He's the one that resets the tests for them.
I just thought of something.
Do you think he's double agent? You think that he's a prisoner too, but he's gotta work, help them work through their stuff so he can get out?
Maybe that's his task. Maybe he's the mole.
Wow. Wow. What did you think of?
I just realized, is there a picture of the artist, or did he just make it of the other two? Did Sprocket make a picture of himself?
Of himself. I'm trying to remember if I can even...
I don't remember a Sprocket
drawing. Was there even a picture of Root? I'm sure he gave it to her, but did we see it?
I think we did.
Okay. All right.
I want to say we did. I have the memory of we did.
All right. Or is it...
But there was no Sprocket drawing that I can remember. Now, I've only seen this three times, so I'm not, you know, positive.
I mean,
what could that mean? Is he afraid to see himself?
I could be. It could be that it's easier for him to focus on the problems of others and showing them away as opposed to focusing on himself, because that takes work and courage when he can just be the hero and distract himself and give them joy.
And when he lost this limb.
Yeah, that's...
Maybe he hasn't worked through the trauma of that yet. And if he doesn't look at it, it's not real. And if he drew himself, would he draw himself with the artificial limb? Or
is this, do you think this is like a, spoilers for a 19, 20, 30-year-old movie. Do you think like this is like he's like the end of Jacob's Ladder? You remember Jacob's Ladder with Tim Roth, I think? And, you know, and sometimes the devils are angels trying to set you free. And we discovered that Tim Roth is actually wounded and bleeding out. And we're just seeing his last moments of consciousness before he fades into death. Do you think that Sprocket is like on a gurney somewhere, maybe in the Dominion War, with his arm completely ripped off? They threw it in the pile with Nog's leg. And he's bleeding. He's bleeding out.
Really good stuff,
right? He's bleeding out, and this is the coping mechanism that his mind is generating.
His brain gave it to him to make it okay.
Right.
So he's bleeding out because he lost his limb, but his brain thinks he got his limb back, and he woke up, but he's not.
Right. And again, this is Rocket's all within. This is up. Like split seconds before he fades, before he shuffles off his mortal coil.
Yeah, it's like Inception. It's just the time in that thought realm takes so much time in there, but outside it's just seconds to us.
Yeah, right. It's like to an android, that is a very long time indeed.
It is a very long time. So where is it Rue? Where does she come in all this?
I don't know. Maybe she's bad too. She's always on it like a comet. So,
she is on it like a comet.
And here's the other thing. She's the one that's always got to man the guns.
Right.
All right. So this is another question I have about the technology here. It's a transporter beam. So why do they need to have it like a pistol or like a howitzer aimed at the asteroid coming in, whatever that asteroid might be, when they can just beam it up? Because beaming is omnidirectional. Like, you don't need to aim a transporter beam.
O'Brien is to be believed.
You know? Yeah. So, I don't know. So, it's almost like she's stuck being the aggressor. Like, why? She's got to load the stuff. She's got to find the ammo. She's got to load it. She's got to set the coordinates. She's got to pull back the lever that is basically just like the transporter thing. You know, Scotty does that or Kyle does that. So
what if this lesson she's learning? Now, I'm not talking about like the simulation with the punishment and the incarceration. I'm thinking of the afterlife learn a lesson in purgatory, whether you come back or you go on. What if it is the fact that she did not defend herself or someone when she should have?
Holy, that's deep.
So that's what caused her demise, and maybe the demise of people around her. So maybe she's learning to be at least defensive, not violent, but defensive.
So you're saying that they're all going through their own death throes in yes. some different way, but they've yes. all come together. They're conscious of whatever the essence of whatever makes them them has come together in this school to interact with one another. But they could mm-hmm. be light years apart and in different times. And
absolutely.
Do you notice how Sprocket is always smiling and laughing? I mean, he doesn't seem to have a Vulcan discipline.
Yeah, so
I wonder if he comes.
Vulcan
maybe
would do that. Would a Vulcan child do that? I think so. From what we know about, like from Star Trek 2009, when all the kids were very logical to Spock.
Spock was very, very weepy in Discovery. Little Spock,
yeah, half human.
Yeah, but that's his half human part. Yeah, yeah. I'm wondering if maybe Sprocket comes from, what was the episode of Enterprise when they find the Vulcans that are emotional?
Emotional?
Yeah, the emotional Vulcans. I think it's the one where T'Pol gets assaulted with the mind meld.
Yeah, the mind meld.
And then she gets the Benai syndrome.
Yep.
Yeah, so, but they had a couple of Vulcans on there that were embraced their emotions and didn't follow the teachings of Surak. There was especially a great guest star. He was the one that I think Trip, because he was the engineer. And he was really good. So maybe Sprocket is that guy's inner child or mm-hmm. part of maybe that community went on in some kind of generational shift.
Well, I was just thinking, what if something tragic happened to this young Vulcan? I know he lost an arm, but what if it was like due to bullying because he wanted to be himself, which wasn't all logic and proper. He just wanted to be a kid. And that's what happened to him.
I see. I think that we need to see more of what being a kid is on Vulcan.
Yeah,
we should probably watch Yesteryear. I think since Dorothy is like basically invented Vulcans or fleshed them out more than anybody.
Yeah. One of these Saturdays coming out.
Yeah, maybe. I think Yesteryear is the next one that we have to watch. So
it is.
We do get, I think we get so much more of Vulcan in that than we do in anything else.
Yeah.
No.
Smiling Vulcan. Who's the most famous smiling Vulcan? Laughing Vulcan, even.
Oh, wait a minute now. Come
what
on.
If?
You think?
Not Cybok.
Oh.
Cyborgbok.
I think you win scouts this time out. You win. Cyborgbok. Okay.
All right.
Oh, that blew my mind, man. You blew my mind up.
It's possible. It's possible. But if it is Cyborgbok, then, you know, then he eventually gets out of this hell if it's age appropriate and it's not like in a mind thing where you regress and he's okay. I don't know. Now I'm worried about all the three kids. Pets I don't think would be real, but they do say all Targs do go to heaven.
All right. Maybe the pets are something that they're specifically, it's like, what do they call those electronic pets that they used to have?
Oh,
my nephews were young.
Ichigami.
I don't know, but the thing is, if you didn't pay attention to them, they would actually die.
Takegami.
Tachiguchi? Tacha.
That's it.
Tachikuchi?
Nadia Comaneci.
Anyway.
Tachycardia.
Maybe they're given, they each have their own animal. Okay, so there are two possibilities here.
Are they spirit guides?
That was one. That could be the spirit guides trying to lead them to a better place. Mm-hmm. Or if this is a punishment situation, they're burdened with the responsibility of keeping these things alive. Like they have to think of something besides themselves. So it could be a way to teach them how to grow and learn and to be less selfish as well. Because I can tell you, when you have a Bichon to take care of, I don't know what it's like with kids, but man, that Bichon, she'll take over your life. Yeah. So
you need to get Penny that outfit that Linda drew. Just saying.
I need to get Penny some hair dye to have her match. Yeah. I think she'd look good in yellow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Sweet kid.
Okay, so another theory.
Uh-oh.
What if they're in the game from Deep Space Nine?
Alan Moraine?
Yeah, the Alan Moraine game.
Move Along Home.
Or something similar. What if they're like three actual adult cadets or, you know, officers, and they're down on a planet and whoosh, whoosh, white, and then this is happening?
All right. I think everything we've said to this far is pretty plausible. That's just ridiculous.
Okay.
All right. True. Stop. All right. Don't embarrass yourself.
That's true. I went a little too far.
You went a little too far. I mean, there's you know, speculation, and then there's just, come on.
Yeah, I was reaching in that one.
I thought you might be. Yeah.
Yeah. So overall, I think it was a pretty good episode. I was surprised that they did use the hammer, even though I did see it in a preview. I forgot, because I was pretty much like really into the wheel part.
Mm.
What else was on the wheel? We had like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
No, we had the paper airplane, the crayons, the hairball, the stinky hairball, and the hammer.
And the hammer.
Yeah. So
now, do they get to use the hairball again in the future, or is it just like random objects?
I don't know. And so, where's this hairball coming from? Like, where do they get this ammo?
I didn't see a cat.
That's what I'm saying. Did cats exist here?
And they didn't just say hairball. They said cat hairball.
Exactly. So if dogs exist, cats probably exist.
Gary Seven has a cat.
Ooh,
right?
Could it be Isis?
Could be.
Do you think that it's Will Wheaton coming back as the Traveler?
Ooh, he's gonna save them all.
I don't know. Didn't they conflate in Prodigy? Didn't they put Will Wesley? Yep. They turned him into a Gary Seven, right?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, spoilers for Prodigy. Sorry.
Spoilers.
Again.
I want to see an episode where they're not on the bridge. That might give us more.
I don't
idea.
Think they can leave the bridge. That's the thing.
That's the thing. And that's what scares me. That's what this, it's supposed to be some kind of children's show, but it's actually like a psychological thriller.
It's
at least, if not a horror.
Right. The Twilight Zone, seven characters in search of an exit.
Five. Yep.
Or is it five? I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Yeah, they're in the Salvation Army box.
Yeah. The toys in a bin.
That's what this is.
Ah.
I think you called it.
Wow.
Because has Star Trek done that yet?
Star Trek's done everything.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to do puppets for Christ's sake next season.
Ooh. All right.
So many.
Man, this episode.
I'm telling you, there is more to scouts.
It's getting me. And there's another one coming.
Yes.
What episode is next, Chris?
It's a pinata episode. Oddly enough, on Star Trek Scouts, there seems to be some killer asteroid heading towards the school that the children have to, you know, mitigate, to prevent this disaster.
Yes. I think this is like a Lost thing and a Hatch thing, and they got to type in the number every time.
Ah, make your own kind of asteroid.
Yeah,
make your own kind of hammers.
Mix them with slimy cat hairballs.
So, do you think that there will be something, or like a moment where Rue is just like, "No, I refuse to take up arms any longer."
That might be how it ends.
And what if something live is coming at them? Like, what if it's like one of those space moths from Strange New Worlds?
Yeah, right.
Do they murder it? How do they know this chalk isn't sentient?
Chalk was alive at one point, right?
And Horta does look like a rock, right? So
no kill eye.
Right? So they don't know. You'd think they would scan it anyway.
Yeah, they should scan. Well, they only got 4 minutes. That's the thing. Why does it repeat every 4 minutes? What's this first episode of Battlestar?
Right. Was it 22 minutes? I think it's 22
Something
minutes.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Over and over again. Maybe it's just trying to break them. If this is every 4 minutes, well, they get a minute or so.
They get a minute or so to like thinking that they can relax.
Yeah. But
so,
then boom, the phone goes off.
And it's just like, oh, no, not again.
What
this is
if,
Sisyphusian is what it is. They're rolling
is.
That rock.
You're rolling it up the hill, and comes right back down.
Take
and
that.
It seems to be.
Take that hot shot.
Just thought of something.
Okay. All right.
Sprocket is the one holding the phone, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That displays what's coming towards them. He was just trying to draw. They were bothering him. What if he is the one sending these asteroids?
Wow. Do you think he's summoning them or is he creating them?
He might be creating them. Do we? As far as we know, none of them has hit so far.
Wait, he's a Vulcan. he might be implanting images in their minds to distract them, because Vulcans can do that, right? They're touch telepaths. I mean, Spock did it through a wall once to a guard.
Listen to me.
Right?
He did it through the air, through the space.
He did it on the animated series. He did it with a cloud.
Listen to me. Listen to me.
So we've seen him do it both in TOS and TAS.
So we might have an unreliable narrator in Sprocket.
I hate to say this, but I think that Sprocket is the key here, because I've gone ahead an episode. Once again,
I haven't seen the pickle one. Don't spoil it.
Just gonna say it's Sprocket heavy.
Okay, now I'm intrigued. I'm trying to watch them one at a time while we record, because I don't want to have it influence my theories.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. always more to get out of Star Trek Scouts.
Wow. Okay. Is it time for final thoughts and ratings on this one?
Sure. I think it is. You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. The first few times I watched this one, I thought it was fun. I was obsessed with the drawings and the art, and I felt like I knew Sprocket a little bit more because he was like enjoying what brought him joy. And I felt that, and I felt like a kindred spirit with him. But then, of course, it gets interrupted with the chalk, which for me, chalk, it's just a bad, I guess they say comet, right? Or what? Asteroid. Just a weird asteroid. But so far, it's the most plausible asteroid we've seen, because there's not usually meatball asteroids, but there are mineral asteroids.
So are right? you, but you said it, it's, could you call it a bad steroid?
It was. Man, so many theories are going around. What if the lesson is let it hit? If that chalk would have hit the dome, probably would have been all right. It's chalk, right?
No, because once it hit the atmosphere, it turned into fireworks. It could have. They would have died in a horrible conflagration.
You're right.
You know that word that I'm trying to say.
So I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 beautiful drawings from Listen, Linda.
Oh. Well, I have to say, I think that once again, Scouts is showing us more than we anticipated. And I think we're barely scratching the surface here. I think more elements are going to be introduced to hopefully flesh out the individual stories of these characters. Sprocket seems to be the focus now, but who knows how many episodes they have up their sleeves. And we got to figure out what JR is doing there. We got to figure out what's Rue's whole deal. And I think that we're going to get some more focus on these different characters. And I'm looking forward to seeing the nuance that they display. I think you're really onto something with maybe Rue not being able to defend something in her in her life. But that being said,
future episodes.
Yeah.
Next episode. Okay. Without spoiling it, tease it for the people at home.
Let me give my rating.
Oh yeah. Oh sorry. Oh man. I'm emotional.
It's okay. I'm gonna give this one. I think this one gives us even more than Scouts has given us before, because it's everything's opening up now. I'm going to give it 4 dismembered Sprocket's arms in the real world where he's bleeding out of 5. Yeah.
And we're thinking this is the Dominion War, right?
I'm DS9. That's my default. It could be the Romulan Wars. We don't know. It could be way back in Archer times, in Archer days. I don't know.
We'll have to keep watching the series.
No shortage of wars in Star Trek.
I'm hooked.
So, not to spoil it, but the next episode is, I think, Pinata? Party Pinata? Asteroid? Something like that?
I thought I read pickle. Did I read that wrong?
Maybe pickle. Well,
definitely a P word. Pretzels, parsnips, pizza.
Parsnips are so good.
Peanut butter and jelly.
I know there's
marzipan. Does that count? No, that's one word.
Parzaman? It's Parzaman.
Parzaman boxers.
That's how my 3-year-old nephew says Parmesan, Parzaman. I don't have a 3-year-old nephew. I'm only making that up.
That's what my great aunt Ida used to call it, which is weird. That's it for this episode of Star Trek Scouts. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, everybody out there, comment below. Tell us what you think.
you know, people dismissed it at first, but I think this is becoming one of the best modern day Star Treks.
There's a lot more to discuss here than we ever saw in Discovery. And yeah, we've only had, I think, 13 minutes of Scouts in total.
I don't know about you, but after this, I'm going to go watch the pickle pretzel parsnip one.
Right.
That's how much I don't know. I'm not spoiled. So.
Give us your thoughts here on youtube.com/@trexploration. Join us on Patreon, patreon.com/trexploration. Email us trexplorationpod@gmail.com.
Send us those pics.
Send us
like
them
Linda
pics.
Did.
Send us those theories. Send us your manifesto to PO Box 542, Bayport, New York, 11705. And shoe boxes full of manifestos and exploding chalk. Send us no. Don't send any explosives through the mail. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Only 20s. Non-sequential numbers.
Non-sequential serial numbers, please, and no die packs. All right, we've been watching too many heist movies. I think it might be time to wrap this one up.
Yep.
They all tried to rob a bank.
It's possible.
They all tried to rob an asteroid bank.
There's more to it. We know there's more to it than what they're showing us.
I'm telling you.
So this is reminding me of Lost, where we had to be and watch her every week and know what's going on.
We can go on and on and on and on and on. We need to be more focused, like Ruse transporter howitzer.
Yeah. Star Trek Scouts.
We're learning. And we're boldly growing.
Going.
And we're boldly going.
Star Trek Scouts, woo!